buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, plaid up your vestments, and dust up your shawls. It's time for Sounds by Light, a podcast about the movie Tangled. I'm Sam.
I'm Drew.
What's that saying? I came to a Kingdom Hearts and a Tangled broke out.
That's right, yeah. So this week we watched Sora watch Tangled.
he loved it.
Good episode. We'll see y'all next week.
It made him cry. It made him clap.
No, actually, yeah, there will be things to say. I don't dislike this as much as I've disliked other Let's Watch a Disney Movie sections. But it is still just watching it.
Well, the most important question this week, have you seen Tangled? Yes or no?
Yeah. It's been, like, I think around when it came out was the last time I saw it, but I've seen it, and I liked it.
Okay. I rewatched it for this, and I had some revelations.
Okay.
Because I think I also had seen the movie around the time that it came out, and then not again until last week. So when I played this in Kingdom Hearts 3, I was like, oh, it's pretty good. And now I've seen it again, and I still think it's pretty good, but it's also a bonkers adaptation of the movie Tangled.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just, Flynn's not in it. Gothel's not in it.
Yeah, that's true.
I had forgotten how interesting those characters were.
Yeah.
And they're not here. And it's fine.
You kind of just, like, learned that all the character development happened off screen, like how she learned his name was Eugene off screen and stuff like that.
I can't believe that happens off screen. Well, I mean, we don't even start on Sora. We start in the beginning of the movie Tangled with Rapunzel looking at the... I mean, does anyone not know what happens in Tangled? Tangled is about a... Oh, God. See, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that the actual plot of Tangled largely isn't in this.
That's kind of true, I guess. You kind of just watch, like, a selection of scenes from Tangled.
Yeah, but... TLDR, Gothel is a super, super old mean lady who there was a magic flower that could make her young if she sings to it. The flower got eaten by a pregnant queen, and then her baby had hair that could heal you if you sang to it, and that is Rapunzel. So Gothel kidnaps Rapunzel and keeps her in a tower, and then it's Rapunzel, and then it's Tangled. That's the plot.
So I had one fun thought at the beginning of this, and I was like, maybe they'll do this, and then I realized, no, not in a million years, but...
Okay.
This begins, and Rapunzel talks about how Rapunzel is trapped in this tower, and how they would do anything to get away from here, and I'm like, oh, parallels. That's just like Xehanort, or Riku, you know?
Stuck in Yeah, Rapunzel looking at the lanterns and going, this world is too small.
But kinda, yeah. And so I was like, man, it'd be really cool if, like, the bad guy in this world is Xehanort, one of the Xehanorts being like, yes, I know what it's like to be trapped, and I can show you a way out of this world or something.
Mm.
And that would have been really cool. They don't do any of that shit. Instead, they do that seems way more tangential and not as good.
That is actually, come to think of it, quite similar to what Ariel does in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Mm-hmm.
That Ursula's like, I can help you get out of this world.
Yeah.
So they aren't afraid to do it. Although now I think Disney might have a little bit too much control.
I think probably there's a couple issues with it. Like, one, it's clear they wanted to do a different villain here, just in general. And then two, it's probably like, to do something like that, you'd probably have to deviate too much from the story of Tangled, which they probably weren't allowed
absolutely.
To do. Yeah,
absolutely. So Rapunzel, we learn that there's these lanterns that they put up in the sky every year on her birthday. Of course, she doesn't know this, but they are for her. Like, maybe someday the princess will come back. And that is her dream, is to see them up close and learn what the heck is going on with those lanterns. Sora and friends arrive in a nearby forest on a beautiful day. They're loving it. This is the best day of their lives. They're going to have a picnic until they aren't because Heartless show up.
Yeah, and, you know, it's notable. I think it's funny, after coming off of Toy Story, where they get cool world-specific costumes, they don't get that here. But it kind of
makes... Now, what would those be?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I thought about it. I was like, you know, it would be cool if they had some sort of fantasy thing. But they kind of do, and I realized, like, I think one of the problems with Tangled is it's just kind of pretty generic. You know, I think that uh-huh. like, I think I like the movie and I think it's like pretty well done. But at the end of the day, like there's nothing really inspired about any of the art design. And yeah, I was like, there isn't a style to Tangled where I think you could create a convincing style for Sora or whatever.
You know, I learned a lot about Tangled over the past week.
Yeah.
And it is good. I did like it. I don't think I said that. But no, I did enjoy it on the rewatch. One thing that I learned about Tangled, maybe the inspiration didn't necessarily go quite so much into the like aesthetic design of the world itself, because all of the inspiration went into Flynn Rider's face.
He's very expressive. That's true.
They apparently had like staff meetings with the women on the staff called the hot man meetings, where they would just go around and be like, who are the hottest celebrity men? What do you like about them? We're going to make the hottest Disney man of all time.
That's him?
That's him, apparently. Hey, I remember at the time, there were people on Tumblr who were obsessed with Flynn Rider.
Yeah, but they're obsessed with the Onceler.
That might have been after.
Yeah, it did.
Or it might have been before. I truly don't remember.
Yeah, time's an illusion.
Anyway, Flynn, speaking of Flynn, he falls off of a cliff. In the movie, this is where he escaped from Maximus the Horse and the guards. Here he's running from the Heartless and also Maximus the Horse. The game really doesn't explain that he has stolen the crown from the Kingdom of Corona that Rapunzel has been kidnapped from, but that's fine. That's what his thing is.
Yeah.
So they fight the Heartless while he runs away. And they try to follow him afterwards and see where he went. And Sora accidentally leans backwards onto what he thinks is a vine-covered cave wall, but it's actually a vine-covered hole.
It's the clearest hole in the world.
Not to Sora.
Or Donald or Goofy, because after he falls in, it takes them a second to figure it out.
Yeah, they're like, Sora, where'd you go? Yeah, they think that Maleficent might have popped open a corridor behind him or something.
Not a bad guess. It could happen.
Let's hope it never comes to that. They go through this tunnel. There's Rapunzel's tower. We cut to the middle of the scene where Flynn meets Rapunzel. He's tied up in her hair. She's brandishing a frying pan at him. Iconic things from the movie if you've seen it or if you haven't.
Yeah, there's a lot. This is a very let's watch the movie thing.
Yeah. Basically, TLDR, she offers him a deal, which is I will return your satchel that she doesn't know has the stolen crown that belongs to her in it. If you take me to see those lights in the sky, and he says, okay, fine. As long as my three sidekicks get to join us.
Oh, who are they?
Junior heroes.
Oh, man, then Flynn makes them hit a bunch of boxes for a while.
So Sora arrives to the outside of the tower right as Flynn and Rapunzel are leaving, and I do like this moment because they are... Again, they're very much watching the movie Tangled, but it's in a way that feels, like, appropriate for a change, where Rapunzel's just kind of off in her own world as she, like, touches the ground for the first time, and she's running around, and Sora just, like, sidles over to Flynn and is like, what the fuck is her deal?
Yeah, fair enough.
We then get a montage direct from the movie of Rapunzel, like, being very conflicted about whether or not this is a good, fun thing. I do want to specifically call out hashtag one perfect shot where she's like crying in a cave and we just see Goofy out of focus in the background watching.
It's so good. I would love, I want the Tangled cut where people just cut Goofy to the background of a bunch of scenes of Tangled.
Basically, they all introduce themselves to each other and, you know, Sora feels a bit of a kinship with Rapunzel, which I think is probably the best part of this world, because he's been there. He left his own little tiny world and found a much bigger, much scarier one.
Yeah, like, I don't know that we'll have to talk about much of the gameplay, but what I saw of the gameplay here seems actually really good, and that's what made me turn on thinking this world was pretty bad to go seeing, like, oh, it's like, yeah, Sora is like playing with her, and there's like a scene where he like helps bring some birds over to her and stuff, and it seems like fun and kind of neat and like touching, you know?
Yeah, you get to like have a little splash fight with her in a pond, and you do a big splash and everyone goes like, wow, a rainbow and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, there's a part where she's like, oh, look at the dandelions. And then it goes extremely video game mode because you have just unlocked the spell Arrow. And she's like, I wish there was a big gust of wind that could make them all blow in the air.
I wish somebody would press triangle and then this button and make the gust go in the air.
I wish someone would equip Arrow on their customized menu and use it on the dandelions. Oh, shit. The dandelions.
Oh, no.
And, Rapunzel is Ava.
Oh, and the villain? Oh, okay. Maybe.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
This is... Kingdom Hearts is so something.
That can't...
I forgot. I know what you're thinking about right now, and I had forgotten about it.
Is that intentional? Probably not.
I don't think so. I don't think so. The villain of this world is maybe a little dandelion-affiliated, is what we're realizing, but we'll get there in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically Sora, he kind of takes on this like almost like mentor or like big brother role for Rapunzel, where he's like, I'm going to walk you through the wonders of the outside world, as Donald and Goofy did for him. And he basically says that to them, that he's like, you know, I was so lucky that you found me when you did. Our time together has been unforgettable. And Donald says, aw. And then Sora gets embarrassed and turns it into a goofy insult with, yeah, unforgettable, like your face.
And not his best.
Not his best. But I think that it's sweet to see Sora. He's, lest we forget, I think he's supposed to be like 16 at this point.
Oh, really? Okay.
He got a little bit flustered by being emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah. I don't know. That still happens to me.
So, yeah, they encounter a big fluffy dandelion thing and they say, wow, this is great. But then it turns out to actually be like 10 heartless.
Yeah, because like most of the heartless in this world are flower themed.
Yes. So we do get to see their team attack with Rapunzel and Flynn, where they tie Sora, Donald, and Goofy up in their hair. In her hair, rather, and swing them around and launch them as projectiles.
Yeah, you know, I think in the movie they do a pretty good job of not usually making her hair like a... It should be kind of horrifying most of the time, but they managed to make it fun. But it's kind of horrifying in this case.
A little bit Yukako.
Yeah, a little bit. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but they do the old hairball special, and it's great. Then we get this little scene here where Gothel... who, again, is the woman who kidnapped Rapunzel as a baby and has been raising her, and Rapunzel thinks that it's her mom. She, like, comes back and finds the tower empty, and she, like, grips her head. And this was, having just seen the movie, this really stood out as a moment that might make no sense if you hadn't seen the movie.
Oh, right, because, like, you wouldn't understand that she's, like, aging and stuff.
She's, like, 400 years old.
Right.
And she's like, oh no, my hair is going to start going gray if I don't get Rapunzel to sing her hair song at me.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this part does feel like it maybe assumes you at least know the basics of the plot.
Yeah. But she finds Flynn's satchel with the crown inside and a wanted poster of him, and she's like, oh no, I think she thinks that he, like, kidnapped her, maybe, or like, rescued her, and that she knows that she's the princess or something. We'll never know what she thinks, because she is interrupted by Marluxia.
Wah! A character a ton of people are seeing for the first time in this game.
God, yeah, I mean, when he does meet Sora, he's doing the thing that they always do, where he's like, you wouldn't remember me, but I remember you, Sora. And Sora's just like, why?
Yeah, they don't have a very productive talk here.
No, not really.
And, you know, and maybe Marluxia's whole deal will be more meaningful to me after we get through, like, the other parts of Union Cross.
Yes, yes.
But for now, I'm still just kind of like...
this is an interesting thing. Oh, sorry, what?
Oh, yeah. But for now, I'm just like, yeah, I don't really care about your deal, Marluxia.
No, I'll be honest. Marluxia has long been one of my least favorite characters in Kingdom Hearts. I just don't care about him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that'll change after Union Cross, but like I said. But yeah, his motivations are... they're just so obscure that I don't find it interesting. Like, just tell me what you're up to, you know?
Yeah, in Chain of Memories, it was just the very nebulous, like, I'm going to take over the organization. But we don't really know why he wanted to do that and what he thought that he would get out of it. And I don't know if he knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll probably make sense when we get to know Lorium more.
Right.
This is the dandelion connection we were thinking about earlier. I don't think that there's anything there, but you never know.
Maybe.
But yeah, he offers to help her get Rapunzel back, and we get a close-up on her eyes turning pink, representing his powers of influence that I don't remember if we have ever seen him demonstrate before. This might be new.
Yeah, I don't really remember what his powers were. I think he can make you sleepy.
Well, that wasn't a power of his in Chain of Memories. Oh, That's a power of his in this game.
Yeah.
He was more associated with, like, Grim Reaper type stuff. Like, he had, like, Doom magic.
Right, and it's all flower-themed.
That was the other thing, yeah. He could, like, control flowers and, like, create duplicates of himself out of flowers.
Right.
But yeah, it just seems like he has a completely different power set this time.
Yeah, it feels like they're like, well, his game was about sleep, kinda, so he's got sleep powers now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. I guess we still haven't really gotten to know Lorium very well. I'm trying to think if there is anything there. Nothing is coming to mind from what I know about Lorium that would explain why he can do any of this, but maybe we'll see something. We'll keep it in mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to skip over some Rapunzel and Sora fun moments. This is one of my favorite parts of this world, as they find a gigantic silvery, leathery flower thing, and Sora's like, well, this is weird, because it's clearly not a heartless. And what he forgets to think to himself is, what is not a heartless but is silver?
That's a lot of thinking for this boy.
He doesn't know how to do that.
Donald should have got there.
Yeah. Well, Goofy should have realized it immediately, but...
Right, yeah.
Sora basically just, like, inspects this big silver flower for a few seconds, and then just turns around and goes, all clear, and then it turns into a nobody reaper thing.
Yeah, which I do like these Marluxia-themed nobodies with big reaper scythes.
Yeah, it's cool to see, because we never got to see his, like, personal nobody type in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Because he was already gone.
These are cool. They're, like, flowers that are also the Grim Reaper. And there's a... I think that this is a line from the movie when they go to, like... there's a part where they go to, like, I want to call it a biker bar. A bandit bar or something.
Yeah.
And I think this line is from there, where she says... Mother said the outside world would be full of ruffians and thugs, but it's very funny used to describe a bunch of nobodies with scythes.
Yeah, they're not really thuggish, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's Donald who replies to that, like, these aren't just thugs, they're nobodies. So true.
Yeah.
So they basically tell Flynn and Rapunzel, like, these things are more dangerous than Heartless. You need to stay out of this one. So they run. And they fight the nobodies without Rapunzel and Flynn. I think afterwards, doesn't Sora yell something like, he's like, where, there's nobodies here, which makes me think of the old organization, but none of the old organization are here. And he just yells like, where are you, you has-beens?
Yeah. Yeah, that rules.
Oh, there's a great sassy Sora line here that I did write down when Marluxia shows up and Sora goes, bossing around nobodies? That's the old organization. What, are you in the real one too? Good for you.
Yeah, Sora's getting better at dishing it out. Other than just murder.
Something I wanted
to
talk about with Marluxia.
Yeah.
Because we know that a lot of the organization in this game have been obtained via time travel by young Xehanort.
Yes.
Marluxia is one of them that hasn't. And that is very interesting to me. Because we know that if a Heartless and a Nobody belonging to a person are both destroyed, they recomplete, as it's called. So Marluxia, Lorium actually would have recompleted somewhere, and the organization found him and snatched him up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we get...
Weird to think about.
We see that happen to someone else, too, so...
Yeah. Yeah, we do. That'll be at the very end of this part, but... Mm-hmm. And I guess it already happened with Saix, come to think of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's starting to look like maybe the ones that end up back at the organization are ones that would have wanted to work for the organization anyway.
Yeah. So Marluxia introduces himself to Sora, and yeah, again, he's like, we've already met, you don't remember. And Sora, again, despite knowing that he was asleep for a year, he just never gets it.
No.
He never makes that connection of, like, this must be when I lost my memories.
Right, yeah, I guess maybe he thinks he's like, well, I could have just forgot.
Yeah. I've killed a lot of guys at this point.
Yeah. This is also where I started to feel like Marluxia kind of sounds like John Hodgman, which is fun to think about.
He has a weird voice. It's never what I expect it to be.
Yeah, it's just a little bit more, like, gentle and you know, reserved than I would have thought.
Yeah. And I probably said this in Chain of Memories. It's no offense to Keith Ferguson, who is a great voice actor. It's not the direction that I feel like this guy should have gone. But Marluxia gets a great dunk on Sora here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've noticed. Well, perhaps not.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
I don't think he even finishes that thought.
Nope.
I think that what he was going to say is that Rapunzel is this world's princess of heart.
Yeah, he's more clear about that later on.
Yeah.
But this is where he does go on to talk about how, like, no, I want you to save Rapunzel. Our ultimate objective is not to clash with the light, but to complement it.
Me when I lie. Why even say that?
Yeah, right, because their goal is to have a big fight. That's the whole point. But they need...
Yeah, it's literally your goal is to clash with light.
Yeah, I feel like he should... It's more like our goal isn't to wipe it out, but we do need to fight it.
Right, yeah. But he says the organization, we just seek balance. Do I believe that? Kind of, in a way, maybe.
I think it's that, like, thing people talk about with Star Wars, where it's like, well, if there's really going to be balance in the Force, there should be maybe more than, like, 2 Sith when there's, like, 100 Jedi, you know?
Yeah, that would definitely balance things out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he leaves. They go deeper into the forest, trying to find where Rapunzel and Flynn went off to. Gothel happens to be nearby and overhears them calling Rapunzel's name, and she approaches them. She introduces herself as Rapunzel's mother and says, do you know where she is? Goofy says, we were with her a little bit ago, but we lost track of her. And she just immediately is like, useless, and walks away.
Yeah, she really reveals who she is, so that's nice.
Yeah, we don't get to see much characterization of her in this, but that's some classic Gothel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just a selfish person. I mean, she's the kind of person that would put a child in a castle, in a tower, so she could live forever. So.
Oh, shit. She is evil. You're right.
Yeah, it's not good.
At this point, I think that Sora and friends didn't really get that she was, like, running away from home. They knew that this was her first time leaving, but they, I guess, just assumed that there were normal reasons that she was in a tower for her whole life, and that there were equally normal reasons that she was just now leaving for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it was like a bubble boy situation.
Around this point in the movie, and I have to say this now because it's going to make a lot of things make sense later.
Mm-hmm.
Around this point in the movie, Flynn and Rapunzel are trapped in a flooding cave. None of this is here, but they're trapped in a flooding cave together. He reveals that his real name is Eugene Fitzherbert. She reveals the power of her hair to heal injuries by singing a little song to it. They fall in love. That all happens off screen. I think around this point, he also tells his backstory, but we'll get into that later when it matters.
That all happens while, like, they're fighting the heartless monkey that slapped his butt on top of a tower, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Every time a monkey heartless slaps his ass, a couple fall in love.
I fell in love with the heartless monkey that slapped his butt.
Yeah, you don't really get a lot of... I think that's the most personality we've seen in a generic enemy since Spelican.
Oh, Spelican. R.I.P.
Oh, Spelican. Come back to us.
Someday.
Someday. Spelican will be in Union Cross. Actual shit, he might be. Maybe. Who knows? I never played it.
I mean, there's a good chance that you could find Spelican in some corner of that game.
Yeah, as a collectible sticker or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they eventually find Rapunzel as she is trying to calm down Maximus, the horse that is trying to capture Flynn. They become friends. Maximus kicks Flynn in the stomach. That's basically what...
Yep.
But Maximus welcomes the three of them to their group, even though Donald is as much of a criminal as Flynn Rider, if not more.
True. He tried to steal, like, the... What was he trying... He tried to do something bad in the past world, and that...
I mean, I don't think they really explained what he was trying to do, but he was basically just trying to manipulate the past to change the future.
Oh, yeah, and he wanted to steal gems in Agrabah.
He's got gem madness, to be sure.
Yeah.
But Maximus wasn't there for that. I was hoping that he would be able to sense Donald's criminal instinct, but alas,
yep,
he...
all the darkness in that heart, yeah.
He lets him get away, which is a real shame to see. Yeah. We're gonna skip over a lot of gameplay. I think this is where the monkey Heartless slaps its ass and the bird stuff happens, and it's very cute. There's also a part that wasn't in the video where they all slide down a big steep hill together, and because it's Kingdom Hearts, they play the same voice line 7 times of Donald going, "Wee!"
Haha, yeah.
Haha. But they arrive outside of the kingdom finally, and Rapunzel runs into the town ahead of everyone. She's so excited. She gets her hair braided, which happens in the movie off screen, and she sees this big mural of the king and the queen holding their giant-eyed blonde baby and stares at it and says, "I wonder if this means anything to me."
Baby has a big head.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think that a lot of the visuals of Tangled do hold up, but I do think that, you know... A thing that I learned about Tangled and what it did for Disney animation, I learned this from Dan Floyd of Playframe and New Frame Plus on YouTube. Check him out. I learned from him that Tangled was like the first 3D animated movie to like really figure out how to make human characters look good and not like Toy Story.
Oh, okay. Like, okay. Like not plasticky.
Yeah. So this was like a huge step forward for like what animation could do for 3D animated characters like this. I do think that Rapunzel's eyes are about 50 times too big, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, yeah, it is good to get that context because, again, I feel like I don't think it has a very inspired look to it, but yeah, maybe a lot of it is that they're really figuring out some technology still, so.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, like, pushed forward animation immensely. The stuff that they had to, like, develop to be able to do the stuff that they do with her hair is pretty nuts.
Oh, okay.
I think it might still to this day be the most expensive animated movie ever made.
Really? That's surprising to hear.
Yeah, because they were, like, inventing new shit in order to do the stuff that they had to do.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, my point being, when we see baby Rapunzel, she looks like fucking Johnny Johnny, and that was challenging.
Yeah. Yes, Papa.
So there is a very, very delightful dancing mini game for the festival, which we do get to see. No offense to whoever recorded this footage for Gamer's Little Playground. Played horribly.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, it feels like they weren't into it. Yeah, because I was like, this looks great. I love this kind of stuff. This is the stuff that I think is good, like, in Final Fantasy games, too. Like, in Final Fantasy IX, there's the stuff where you, like, put on a play and you can... I don't know if it was well executed there, but... It's still, I like when you get to do little game prompts to, like, do something that isn't fighting, you know?
Yeah, and you know that Sora is so excited to dance and prance around with the townsfolk.
Yeah, yeah.
He's spinning and clapping and swinging them around. Very fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
So anyway, the sun starts to go down. Rapunzel and Flynn take a boat out to watch the lanterns. This is where she sings a song in the movie, of course. They talk about dreams. What if it's not what I dreamed it would be? He says, well, it will be. And then you get to find a new dream that's relevant to their relationship that's not in this game. Yeah, from our perspective, they truly are just like, last time we saw them, they were like kind of at each other's throats, and now they are in love.
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of how Disney movies work sometimes, but they did have actually more character growth off screen.
Yeah, and they almost died together.
Right.
So right. They bonded over that. She pulls out his satchel. I don't for the life of me remember how she has this.
Yeah, because like last time we saw Gothel had it.
Yes, that's right. There was a scene in the movie where they're like camping by a fire and Flynn like steps away for a moment, and then Gothel creeps in, and she does some like stuff where she's like, here's the satchel, give it to him, see what happens, he'll leave you something something, and then she sings a reprise of Mother Knows Best, etc. We really didn't get any of that here. So she really does just pull out the satchel from nowhere.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's here.
Yeah, he looks at the satchel and feels guilty. This next part makes absolutely no sense without the movie.
Yeah.
Because they go back to the shore, and he's like, I have something I need to take care of, I'll be right back. And then the next time we see him, he is unconscious, tied to a boat, sailing out to sea.
Yeah, I'm assuming Gothel did that.
I think Marluxia clobbered him, but in the movie, when he stole the crown, he was working with two other criminals called the Stabbington Brothers, because it's a movie for children, and he, like, abandoned them to get arrested while he takes the crown for himself.
Right, okay.
So what happens in the movie here is he sees them on the shore. They are working with Gothel at this point in the movie, but we don't need to get into that. And he decides, no, okay, this is where I was taking notes, and I was like, in order to explain this moment, I need to basically explain his backstory, and this is where I remembered that he's kind of a rich character.
Right, okay.
Because he was an orphan, and he grew up reading books about a rich, adventurous rogue named Flinnegan Rider. So he wanted to emulate Flinnegan Rider, which is why he calls himself Flynn Rider, and live a life of thiefy luxury. So when he finally, like, gets close to Rapunzel, and she sees Eugene Fitzherbert and falls in love with him for who he is rather than who he's trying to be, he realizes that his old dream of wealth and adventure means less to him than his new dream of being with her, which is what they were talking about when he was, like, finding a new dream. And then he sees the Stabbington brothers on the shore and decides that he would rather return the crown to them and apologize, I guess just hope that they forgive him and let him walk away, and then return to Rapunzel, a changed man, but instead Marluxia kicks his ass and ties him to a boat.
Hey, you know what? It's good when the characters have an effect on the plot, and that does affect the plot a little bit.
Yes. So, meanwhile, Sora, Donald, and Goofy are just, like, hanging out on the docks, just watching the lanterns themselves together, and just having a wonderful night.
Yeah, it seems... Yeah. I wish this...
Until a bunch of nobodies.
Right, yeah. That does ruin a lot of nights for them.
But then they fight them, and it's fine. So yeah, this is where Rapunzel sees Flynn sailing away with the crown in his hand. Unknown to her, he is unconscious and tied to the boat. There's reasons that Gothel and the Stabbington brothers did this, but it's absolutely not worth explaining at this point. I've explained enough of what happens in Tangled.
I agreed, yeah.
But yeah, Marluxia appears and talks to Rapunzel, and he's basically filling the role that the Stabbington brothers did in the movie of, like, scaring her straight into Gothel's arms, but that does have the very funny effect of her running away, and then as soon as she's, like, turned a corner, Gothel, like, fake beats up the nobodies with a stick.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like, visually not clear to me.
Yeah, we just hear, like, clonk, clonk, and then, like, the nobody disappearing noise, as presumably Marluxia just dispels them or whatever.
Yeah, right. That must be what happened.
So, yeah, she leaves with Gothel. She's like, oh, you were right, Mom. Flynn left me, etc., etc. There's a great part here where Sora and friends see Rapunzel walking away with her, and Sora tries to call out to her, but Marluxia just appears in front of him and says, show some decorum.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the guy at the movie theater who's yelling at the movie, Sora.
He's got a... I mean, it's better than just standing there.
Yeah. But basically what he explains is that, yes, Gothel is evil and wants to hoard Rapunzel's magic hair for herself, but in doing so, she will inadvertently be protecting Rapunzel from other people who might want the hair, and that is what the organization want, is for Rapunzel, as a princess of heart, to be safe and sound.
Yeah. Yeah, he does say something weird here about how, like, he makes it sound like when the other princesses of heart in Kingdom Hearts 1 created the Keyblade, with their heart, they got kind of like used up, so now there needs to be new ones.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, he says that they fulfilled their role.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it's unclear what he means by that.
Yeah, because I didn't think there was a point to mentioning that they'd fulfilled their role, unless it meant that they needed to find new princes of heart. Maybe he's just saying like she could also fulfill that role. It's unclear to me.
Yeah, I don't know what fulfilling their role is, if it's becoming the Keyblade of Heart, or that they just, like, helped to defeat Ansem, Seeker of Darkness. Yeah, I don't really know what role. Or maybe he's saying that they all finished their stories from the movie, but Rapunzel hasn't yet.
Could be, yeah.
Snow White went back and got kissed, so... No, because that happened in Birth by Sleep. Who knows what she was up to then? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says that the light that made them the Princesses of Heart moved from them to a new set of princesses. Assuming we take that at face value, Rapunzel is one of those new princesses. He also, this is what, I think Yen Sid said this, at the end of Dream Drop Distance, I believe, that if the Guardians of Light fail to play their part and fight the 13 darknesses, the organization will basically just gather up the Princesses of Heart and just attack them, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
The seven backup lights, he calls them the new seven hearts. We'll hear that again at some point.
Yeah, are they going to attack them, or are they going to try to make a new Keyblade a light?
I think the idea is that they're going to attack them. Because that's the, I guess in some form, because that's the whole point of this, is get seven heroes of light, 13 villains of darkness, and just make them fight each other.
Yeah.
I think we know that the Princesses of Heart have, like, light magic. I don't know how much direct control over it they have, but they were doing some magic at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1.
That's true, yeah. I guess maybe they'd, like, force them to train and then fight them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Xehanort did with Ventus in Birth by Sleep.
Yeah, it's true.
Sending Rapunzel to the gym so that she stands a chance when Marluxia attacks her.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, yeah.
This is the part where Marluxia puts Sora to sleep with magic, something that he has never done before, but I guess he can do it now. He also says, he taunts Sora with, "You always were such a sound sleeper." Marluxia, you were dead for that part. You don't know.
He's heard about it.
They just caught him up on it, I guess. He was listening to Mickey's recap.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more significant that Sora got put to sleep, but it really isn't.
No, it doesn't. I think it really, the main purpose that it serves is that it's daytime when they find Rapunzel, because it was daytime in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what was the point of this, but, I mean, he puts him to sleep good. By the time Sora wakes up, the sun is up.
Yeah, and we should say the way that he got woken up.
Yes, and we will. But first, we go back to Rapunzel in the tower. This happens in the movie that we see her get a little, like, Kingdom of Corona flag with the little sun motif on it. We don't see that here, but she does have it. And it's very important because, I don't know if this was actually clear, I didn't really understand this just from looking at it until I looked up what the hell was going on here. And I mean this in the movie as well, is that Rapunzel has been painting all over the inside of her tower since she was a kid. And she realizes that she has been subconsciously including in sort of negative space the shape of the Corona sun.
Yes, which does not, I feel like if you were just playing this game, you would have no idea why this happened.
Yeah, I mean, again, I had no idea watching the movie, so maybe I'm just stupid. But yeah, she realizes that she's the lost princess of Corona.
Yeah.
We then get our second and final piece of Gothel characterization in this game, as she says to Gothel, "I'm the lost princess." And Gothel says, "Speak up, Rapunzel. You know I hate the mumbling."
She's a mean mom.
She's a mean mom. I do really like her passive aggression. So Rapunzel realizes that Gothel kidnapped her as a baby and has been using her for her hair's power for her whole life. Gothel says, "Whatever, it doesn't matter if you know that at this point. You're safe here. Flynn is going to be hanged for his crimes." Rapunzel says, "You're never going to use my hair again." Gothel gets, like, knocked backwards and breaks a mirror. That'll matter later.
Right. I think it's symbolic here because she's so obsessed with her appearance.
Yes. There's a very funny part here. This also happens in the movie that Gothel says, "You want me to be the bad guy? Fine. Now I'm the bad guy." Except in this, as she says that, she is, like, teeming with darkness miasma, and it really makes it seem like she's going to kill Rapunzel.
Yeah, her stink lines were going out of control.
Yeah, Riku smells that awful stench.
He does a Wolverine sniff back in Radiant Garden or whatever.
So Flynn escaped off screen because the characters who help him escape in the movie aren't in this. And he rides Maximus out of town. This is where he finds Sora, Donald, and Goofy. They're trying to wake Sora up. And again, the sun is coming up. I have to assume that means that it's been like 8 straight hours.
Yeah, well, Sora needed the rest.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he just had a full night's sleep. So he's doing great, actually. Donald and Goofy are exhausted, but Sora's feeling great.
I guess, have they just been standing here trying to wake him up the whole time?
I think they have. They say, like, we've tried everything. They're still, like, standing over him, shaking him, yelling at him.
Oof, that's a horrible night.
It's a really bad night. And I don't know why they didn't just try having a horse lick him.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to have to, like, do something more complicated. But nope, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, this is character development for Donald, because in Kingdom Hearts 1, we saw him wake Goofy up with some thunder magic, and he could have absolutely done the same thing to Sora, but he has learned that sometimes you shouldn't attack your friends with magic.
Yeah, again, like, you know, as far as, like, sorry, it's blew past that. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. I thought we were going to get something here where, like, oh, Sora's asleep, so we're going to have to play as, like, Donald and Goofy and beat Marluxia. Nope. So that he can wake up.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
They just had a horse lick him. Yeah, I really don't know what the point of this was, except just, I guess, to make it make sense that Rapunzel and Gothel, like, get far away.
Right, yeah. I guess that's it.
Anyway, they all ride Maximus back to the tower. And Flynn climbs into the tower by himself so that the plot of the movie can happen. And Rapunzel is, like, chained up. When Flynn climbs through the window, Gothel stabs him in the back with a bloodproof knife.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, just because you were talking about how bloodless this is?
Well, I thought that because she literally stabs him and then, like, pulls the knife out and holds it up to show that that's what happened, and it's completely clean. And I thought that was for Kingdom Hearts, but no, in the movie... She shows the camera. She shows all the parents. Don't worry, there's no blood on the knife.
Well, yeah, he's a cartoon. He doesn't have any blood.
Oh, that's true. But it should be covered in ink. Oh, no, but he's CGI. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It should be covered in ones and zeros. It's covered in data.
Yeah. With the power of data.
Oh, no.
So Rapunzel tells Gothel, if you try to take me with you, I will never stop resisting you for as long as I live, unless you let me heal him. And then I promise I'll do whatever you want. This is a callback to a moment earlier that we didn't even mention, where she says that she never breaks a promise.
Oh, okay.
I'll be honest, even watching the movie, I didn't make that connection. Lauren had to explain it to me because it was, like, so long ago.
Yeah, I just thought she was a good person, so she wouldn't break a promise. I don't know.
She loves promises.
Yeah.
So Gothel chains Flynn down to the stairs. Rapunzel wraps her hair around him, but, you know, he's like, I can't let you do this. He grabs a shard of the mirror and cuts all of her hair off, which turns it brown and removes the magic, something that was also explained in the movie, but not in the game.
Yep.
But that's fine.
Yep.
And she immediately starts aging, she being Gothel, not Rapunzel. Gothel starts aging hundreds of years very, very quickly. And she tries to hide her face with her hood, and Pascal, the chameleon sidekick, who we never mentioned up until this point...
Yeah, because he doesn't matter, and I think he's one of the worst sidekicks in a Disney movie.
I think so, too, except for this part where he uses Rapunzel's cut-off hair. He pulls it taut to trip Gothel and send her falling out of the window of the tower.
Yay! It's pretty cool that the little chameleon murders somebody. That is good.
Yeah, well, technically he didn't, because she does die of old age before a pile of dust hits the ground.
True. He just did it for dramatic effect.
Seriously. Yeah, Pascal the Chameleon. I mean, he's like funny in the way that like a Disney animal sidekick is funny, but I don't really get him either.
Yeah, because like usually, you know, it's just a rule. Disney movies have to have a cute little sidekick. And you know what? I like him every time pretty much. But the thing about Pascal is I'm like, why is he a chameleon? It doesn't connect to Rapunzel in any way. it doesn't really seem to connect to, like, wherever they're supposed to be. And this kind of goes back to, like, my thing of, like, I don't really have, like, I don't feel like the world in this movie has, like, a strong identity, and Pascal's kind of part of that. And, but, you know, I don't want to just be critical without offering solutions. So I think...
Oh, please.
So, yes. So I think that if you want to have, like, a thematically linked cute little sidekick, you have cute little head lice on her head, in her hair.
Oh, God.
She's got, like, a helpful little colony of head lice.
She's, like, singing to them like the fucking birds in Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, or they're, like, the mice in Cinderella, and, you know, and, yeah, and they're all powered up because of the magic of her hair.
Oh, God. See, I mean, there's plenty of room for them.
Yeah, see, I fixed it. And then it's actually really sad when her hair gets cut off because they're all going to die.
I kind of feel like you fixed it. I thought you were going to say, like, an Afghan hound or something, but this works too.
No. Yeah, that would have been better, but I think mine's best.
I also think so. Do they have, like, a hive mind? They all just, like, have one name together?
No, they've got, like, fun little personalities, like the like, Sex Pistols and JoJo. I'm just going to keep saying JoJo stuff.
Rapunzel! Miss Rapunzel!
Tina!
Yeah!
We need lunch!
She's like, okay, just they're just like chewing on her scalp.
No, like her like hair grabs a bird and pulls it in, they eat it.
And the bird's like, I get to be your new sidekick.
Yeah, this is a great movie now. It's memorable.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, yeah, I feel like Disney animal sidekicks tend to be the biggest thing of, like, I can watch Tangled, I can watch Frozen, I can watch Moana and be like, these movies are good. But it's the little sidekicks that I'm always just like, this is just for the kids. It's just obligatory. Like, Moana has, like, a, I think it's like a pig and a chicken, or maybe a goat and a chicken.
Yeah, those ones are pretty much nothing too. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really just like, there have to be some animal sidekicks so that we can sell stuffed animals of them.
But those ones at least made sense for the setting, and I just don't think that Pascal makes sense for the setting even, so.
I mean, I don't know where chameleons are from.
I think they're in Africa.
Hair?
Yeah, they're in Africa, and maybe she's in Africa, but I don't think so.
Corona? Hair City?
Hair City. Yeah, they live in hair. They're like head lice.
Anyway, this is the first time that I have updated the Sora Watches People Die tally, which is now sitting at 21, the first since Xemnas at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2. So thank you to Pascal. Like, she was going to die anyway, but you made sure that Sora got to see it. Because he was outside the tower. He wouldn't have known.
That's right, yeah.
He would have just arrived and been like, where'd Gothel go? What's that pile of dust on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that Sora does at least get to see some of it, and not just, again, that Tangled is just happening while Sora's outside.
Yeah, well, on that note, so Marluxia watches this, and he kind of says, like, you know, at this point, I wouldn't have allowed Gothel to stay with Rapunzel because she's become fully corrupted by darkness and we can't have that. So I think what he does here is that he turns her dusty remains into a giant tree heartless so that Sora will have no choice but to do a boss fight against it, thereby removing all of the residual darkness that could have potentially affected Rapunzel or something.
Right.
As if we need an excuse for there to be a big heartless fight at the end of the world, yeah, but that's okay.
It's just time for a heartless fight. We know the deal, Marluxia.
Yeah, he does unnecessarily justify it. Because it's not, I don't think it's that often that they turn the villain into the heartless.
No, that was cool. I liked that.
Yeah, it's basically just this and Scar, I think.
Yeah, right, Clayton just rides a heartless. Yeah, I think it's just this.
Yeah, the first person that Sora watched die.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil things, but I will say in the Frozen world that I think it's not next week. I think Monsters, Inc. is next week. I'll verify that at the end of the episode. But in the Frozen world, the villain from Frozen, the incredibly memorable villain from Frozen, if you even remember who that was.
The boyfriend.
Yeah, he is one of the few villains who does get turned into a heartless, and his heartless transformation is fascinating, and I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
As a tantalizing little note.
Exciting.
But anyway, they beat the boss. This is where the best part of the world comes in, as Sora, Donald, and Goofy climb the tower and just sit in the windowsill to watch the end of Tangled.
Yeah, I didn't mind the way they were watching the end of Tangled compared to some of the other games where they watch the end of it.
I think it's fun. Yeah. I think part of what makes it work for me is that I really do feel like their friendship with Rapunzel and Flynn is really sold, you know?
I think it's that, and I think this is also the part of a Disney movie where you would just have characters sitting there to do reactions to the cute stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Doing the cute stuff going on, so they kind of just fulfill that role.
Yeah, so spoilers for the end of Tangled. Here's what happens. Rapunzel is desperately trying to use her now powerless short hair to save Flynn. He says, "Rapunzel, you are my new dream," and he dies. But then she cries and sings the flower song that we have kind of vaguely alluded to up to this point. And she cries on his face, and the tears make his stab wounds start glowing gold. And he wakes up and he says, "Did I ever mention I have a thing for brunettes?" And then we cut to Sora, Donald, and Goofy crying, clapping, and cheering for Tangled.
Yay, Tangled!
Yay! And they say, "I can't wait to see the movie and the short, and then Tangled the series."
Please?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, there's quite a Tangled extended universe. I haven't seen any of it, but I've heard from some people who are adults that it is good if you like Tangled. That's none of my concern, but allegedly it's good for somebody.
Yeah, if Sora shows up in it, I'll watch it.
Yeah, please do let us know if Sora does appear in the Tangled show, which I don't think exists anymore, but they'll bring it back for Kingdom Hearts 4.
Yeah.
As a promo. Mm-hmm. So they're back outside. Rapunzel thanks them for all the help, and she says, "I'm going to go back to the kingdom and do princess things as the princess." She offhandedly mentions that Flynn's name is Eugene Fitzherbert, and they're just like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, they're like, "You should have told us that."
Yeah, it's nice, though. They're all like, "Oh, that's a really nice name, Eugene." And he says, "Oh, thanks, guys." That's pretty much it. There's some character stuff. Who cares? Pascal sticks his tongue in Flynn's ear because whatever. Everyone laughs and claps.
Yay.
But then I start laughing and clapping because Maleficent and Peter here.
Hooray!
Another world where we got Doodly Squat.
The best character.
Pete asks if the black box is even real, and she says that she knows that it is because, quote, "it is etched."
I assume that she means, like, it's in the Book of Prophecies.
I'm very curious about that, because she doesn't have the Book of Prophecies, because she thinks that the book is in the box, and that's why she wants the box.
Oh, yeah. So what's it etched? What's it etched in?
I don't really know what she means by that. I added that to my list of what the hell does that mean.
Okay.
But she opens a corridor of darkness, and Pete says, like, why do we keep following Sora? He doesn't even know where... He's not even looking for the box. And she says, "We are not following Sora."
Oh. Mm. And that kind of does make sense that maybe they're just following the organization.
Oh. You know, I actually had thought that she meant, this time we're going off on our own. But you might be right that she is saying, we haven't been following Sora.
Right. It's just the organization probably knows something about it, so we're following them around.
Hmm. I guess we'll have to keep an eye out to find out if the organization know about the box. We do know that Zigbar was watching them.
We do know that.
So that's a mystery for our mystery list. Hurry. Mickey and Riku are meeting with Ienzo in Ansem's lab to ask about Evan and the replicas. And Ienzo says, unfortunately, Evan is gone. We have his research notes, but any research notes that he made while he was here were early on.
Yeah.
Because after he became Vexen, he left. So we don't have any of his good shit.
What does Riku say? Riku says some stuff about it.
Yeah, Riku speculates because they're like, well, he can't have left with a corridor of darkness now that he's just a normal guy. So Riku says it was probably the organization. They want him for their darknesses, and they want the replicas to use as vessels. So he's probably been taken away. And we find out exactly where he was taken. It's the new chair room.
Which is like the sick prehistoric chair room.
Yeah, before they had chairs, they had 13 gigantic stone pillars arranged in a circle in the Keyblade graveyard.
So is the chair room a simulation of this place that has some sort of importance?
I don't know, because we have seen that Xehanort can, like, move the earth. Yeah. So he might have just made these pillars.
That could be. Okay.
To emulate his favorite room.
Right, and he'll move them up and down based on how much how important they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think they're all the same height for now, because he's just in a really good mood.
Well, they're mostly him, too.
That's true. So Syax is talking to Vexen. It is Vexen. They have him wearing a hood, even though we can see his face and hear his voice, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's because the animators don't want to look at his bad face any longer than they have to.
We'll hide it for as long as we can.
Yeah.
Syax is like, are you sure that you want to do this? You know, you had a second chance at life after Axel killed you, and now you're throwing it away to return to the organization. But Vexen says, you know, I don't care about being a living human being. The only thing that I care about is my research, and Axel took that away from me. So fuck him.
Yeah, so it is, like, kind of implied that Evan was totally cool with being in the organization and doing research. He probably...
Yeah, I mean, we did learn at some point that the reason that they became nobodies in the first place was to, like, put aside morality for the sake of their research. Like, if we don't have hearts, nothing will hold us back, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess there must have been a gradient of how much they believed in that. And Vexen was all in.
Vexen was all in. Seems like maybe Marluxia was in.
Well, Marluxia they found afterwards. Marluxia wasn't one of the apprentices.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was in Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix. There was the scene of, I think, Zigbar talking to Zexion, and he's like, I found some guy with pink hair. That makes 12 or something like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Which, of course, that is a question that is going to be hanging over us for a while, is how the hell did Zigbar find, apparently, Lorium?
I don't know. Yeah. It's.
I might know.
Okay.
Or maybe I don't. I'm not going to tell you yet.
I'll find out.
You'll find out. Vexen, he says something interesting that I'm very curious about, because we don't really know the, like, backstories of a lot of these characters. Vexen says that he must see his research on the replicas to fruition no matter the cost. And I'm kind of curious why that is. Is this a Mr. Freeze situation? Is he trying to resurrect his dead wife or something?
I was just getting the sense of, like, I'm a mad scientist and I just think this is the most important thing.
He does have ice powers, though.
Does have ice powers. Maybe he...
Ice to meet you, Sora.
I would like him a lot better if he said stuff like that.
And if he had a different face. So he says that he believes that soon the replicas will be able to fully replace humans, not just replicate them. And Syax just says, like, well, good. You know, I was basically just checking with you to make sure that you're really committed to the cause. Because I would hate to invite you back into our ranks only for you to fail to deliver the final vessel.
The final vessel.
That's where we finished for this week.
Yeah, not a bad part.
Not a bad part, even though almost all of it is just the plot of Tangled.
Yeah, it's funny, because I'm not exactly sure why I think this wasn't as bad as, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, but it just isn't, you know? I think that you at least get to see Sora interacting and having fun with.
I think that's the critical piece of it, is that Sora forms an emotional connection with Rapunzel and Flynn that feels very real and meaningful to him. Whereas with Jack Sparrow, there's nothing happening there.
Yeah, he just decides they're friends at one point and Jack Sparrow threatens to kill him someday.
He promises to kill him.
Yeah.
I will do it eventually, I promise.
Can't wait to see that happen in this game.
Yeah, there is a Pirates world, so that is where Sora will die.
Yeah, sad. You should have seen it coming.
It had to happen eventually.
He already did once, kind of. He had his heart pop out in Kingdom Hearts 1, so...
That is true.
I don't know if that's technically
Well, speaking death. Of things that had to happen eventually...
Yeah.
Would you like to read about Kit Summers?
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy, would I.
Let's dive to the wiki.
Let's dive to the wiki. If you don't mind, I'll take it away to begin with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is Kit Summers... Kito Samazu, according to the wiki.
Well, okay, now I have to be this guy. That doesn't say Kito Samazu, that says Kito Natsu. Natsu is summer, which is fine.
Oh, yeah, you're right, it does say that.
But, yeah.
And it's half Wait, is it half? Wait, it's all in hiragana. Never mind. Okay, whatever.
No, it's Kito in katakana.
Okay, it is.
Which, I mean, that's also fine. Just it doesn't say Samazu.
Great. Well, anyway, Kit Summers is the main protagonist in the Kingdom Hearts fan series, Kingdom Hearts Scarlet Darkness.
Now, that's great, but I did come here to hear about Kit Summers.
Well, due to his Keyblade, Kit can wield the power of darkness. Although not initially having much darkness in his heart, Kit can use powerful dark-based attacks at his will.
That's cool, and I like that we know that that means that over the course of his journey, he's going to become more evil.
Yeah, he's a protagonist, not a protagonist. Because he's poor at being a protagonist. After meeting with Sapphire and being told there's not just darkness, that he can also wield light, Kit unlocks several light-based abilities and obtains his sister as a D-Link.
Wow.
Because of this, Kit is able to summon great light-based magic while having her active as a D-Link.
That's from Birth by Sleep.
Yeah. Kit is 15 at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts Scarlet Darkness and wields a Keyblade from the Realm of Darkness. He obtained while trying to escape from his captives. The Keyblade was apparently waiting for its chosen one when Kit found it.
Now, was that supposed to say that he was trying to escape from his captors, or did he capture a bunch of people and then they got pissed off and attacked him and he was like, well, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, he was like, I got you guys, but we all have guns. Uh-oh!
Oh, no, this was a mistake. I didn't think about this one.
Oh, no. Kit used to live with his mother, Evelyn, and his sister, Sapphire, in a small town on the world of Belgan named Rockby. After the kidnapping, capitalized kidnapping, in he middle of the night, Belgan was initially destroyed, with Kit believing his sister to be gone, too.
I looked up Belgan and Rockby because I was like, either that's made up or it's from Ravemaster.
Ravemaster?
It's made up.
Ravemaster?
You never read Ravemaster?
No.
It's all like music name stuff. Like he's from like Garage Island.
Oh, okay. Nope, that one passed me by.
It's pretty good.
Oh, great. Any other stuff you want to read about Kit? I think there might be some stuff in Kitnapped if you
Kitnapped, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's go, chapter one, Kitnapped. After another normal day, Kit goes to bed. He wakes up to the sound of his door opening. It was the middle of the night. There was someone there. Kit thought it was his mom holding a bag, because it was all dark, but the figure used the bag to bag Kit away. Mom, what are you doing with that big sack? Ah!
Don't bag me away!
No! For some reason, when it says bag him away, it does have a second G in bag, which is... Kit wakes up in a strange black place. He seems to have been locked up. Hey, let me out! He shouts, and sees that there's no one around. Oh, what have I gotten myself into? He wonders, and sits crouched. I don't feel like he got himself into this one, personally.
Your mom put you in a bag.
A figure speaks. You're in the realm of darkness, silly! He looks around to see a strange feminine creature behind the bars. He asks who she is. She says she is a denizen of darkness. Kit asks why he is here. The Dod. We are just calling it a D-O-D. It's not... Oh, sometimes it's capital D-O, capital D, but other times it's just D-O-D.
The Dod.
The Dod says he is going to be tested to see if he can be a wielder of darkness and if he can become apprentice to the great Lord Hellfire. What if I don't? He asks. Then you will be turned into a Heartless, she says. Kit asks what a Heartless is. The DOD tells him what it is. Oh my god! Ah! Let me out! He shouts and starts panicking. The DOD tells him that it will be quick and unpainful. The DOD disappears, and Kit thinks of a way out of this. Not too long after the Dodd's visit, Kit had formulated a small plan. Run away when he's let out. So this is exactly what he does when he is let out. That is a small plan.
It's a very small plan.
I know. I'll escape when they open the door. Creatures start throwing black swords and lances at him, presumably more denizens of darkness. He then makes his way to a big room where Dodds seem to be carrying coal. He hid behind a rock and let the guards pass. You must then play as Kit. Oh, so this has all been cutscenes. And sneak past the coal workers and make your way up to the top of this place where you see an oddly shaped sword linked to Keyblade. You take it and it flashes black, sending a seemingly telepathical message to Kit saying, "I have chosen." About 3 seconds after the workers realized Kit's presence, the sword realizes a huge pulse of dark energy and the screen fades to black. We don't need to read the rest of the story, but I do see that he does end up in Twilight Town and he meets Hayner, Pence, and Olette.
Yeah, I think there was one bit of dialogue I wanted to actually read from the prologue or the prologue.
There is quite a lot of story here, actually. I think this is the longest fic that we've seen so far.
I think it is. Actually, it's not
besides Freemanja period.
Yeah, this is not a prologue, it's a prologue. I want to read this. "Get up, sleepyhead," she says as Kit gets up. "Why'd you have to hit me? You know why, Bone Brain. Shut up," says Kit in a cheerful and playful manner.
Bone Brain.
Yeah, I just wanted to read that.
Kit's appearance is still being decided, but we know this. Kit has brown hair, neck length, and it seems to cover his forehead a little, but he doesn't mind. He has white skin and brown eyes. That's about all we know. More to come soon.
More to come soon is good.
As the situation develops.
As an opening to Kit's story, we start with the prologue, where he is seen having his dive to the heart. He then lands on a platform with a mysterious young woman on it. He steps forward and 3 weapons appear. An axe, a shotgun, and a child.
"Which will you take? The power of the shotgun to protect your friends with both barrels?"
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the Doom 2 shotgun. Yeah, perfect.
Was this the person who seemed to be in love with Olette?
I believe this is the person that's in love with Olette, yeah. One of their...
Oh, well, the link to Olette just links to the Kingdom Hearts wiki, so... Mm-hmm. Wait, there is an article for Sapphire Summers. Anything good there?
I haven't looked at it.
No, there's not that much here.
Okay. It all went to Kit.
Yeah. Her attire hasn't been thought of yet.
That's a lot to think about.
Wait, what... Sapphire's concept design has not been fully decided yet, but this has been certified as just. Huh? Sapphire has light brown hair, and that hair is curly. Not too curly, as commented by Sapphire. "Ugh, I wish my hair was as curly as before."
Huh?
The Heartless uncurled her hair.
Hey, I'm gonna try to read this, and maybe we need to move on, but try to read this portion that I'm gonna put in here. Hold on.
Okay.
Afterwards,
a scene comes. Tarzan encounters the gorillas who start wildly roaring. I don't know which character this is, but I'm assuming it's Kit. "Please, look what we did. We saved you. Me, Kit." Oh, so it's not Kit. "And Jane." I think that's Tarzan. Hold on, I'm going to read that again.
Yeah.
"Please, look what we did. We saved you. Me, Kit, and Jane. That taken was going to take all our forget it," said Kerchik. Just then, he started becoming weak and eventually turned into a giant Heartless! All the other gorillas left, and Tarzan pushed Jane and Kit over the edge of the treehouse as he started fighting the beast alone. Presumably, they fell through 50 tree branches and died.
No, they did a sick surfing scene, probably.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think that's the wiki for the week.
Yeah.
We did have a question from Verdigris.
We did. I'll answer the first. There's kind of 2 questions. The first question was, did you know that Tangled is the studio's 50th animated film? No, I did not. Thank you for letting me know.
Asked and answered.
The question. So Flynn starts a movie just like Rose with this. This is the story of how I died.
Rose, that's Rose from Doctor Who.
Right. Okay, that's right. So I guess this might actually be the first for real human death that was a reversible transformation, so we're seen in person.
Incorrect, that was Clayton. He got crucified.
Yeah. Though then Marluxe turns Rapunzel's adopted mom into a chameleon and she dies again. I don't know if that's what happened, but... Oh, into a Heartless and then she dies again. That is what happens.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, in retrospect, knowing Strelitzia is why all Marluxe's flower... stuff is, or all his stuff is flower themed. He doesn't remember why. How well do you think Marluxia's character parallels with the world's story? And I don't know. Is Marluxia somebody that's been trapped and finally let out in the world? Or are you saying like Marluxia is somebody that I don't know. Do you have an answer for this question?
I guess what I will say, without getting too into Lorium stuff that we haven't seen yet, the one thing that I will say is I hadn't thought about it, but it is interesting that Lorium, Marluxia, whatever, feels drawn to a girl with a heart of light who is very closely tied innately to magic and flowers. That is very, very Strelitzia coded in a way that I had not thought about before.
Okay, from that perspective, that is interesting.
I don't know if it's on purpose, but it could be. I wouldn't rule it out, honestly.
Feels like if they, you know, maybe they didn't go any deeper than there's some similarities here and we wanted Marluxia as a villain. But yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Well, I guess, and yeah,
also for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Strelitzia is a kind of flower. Anyway.
And that was his...
And Marluxia has flower related.
And that parts. Was Marluxia's sibling died or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did watch her die.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. You hate to see it. Yeah. Oh, did I have something else to say about this?
I think we probably might have to see more Union Cross before we can really get into it.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I was going to say is that the flower stuff is so removed from the world in Kingdom Hearts 3, except for the fact that there are a lot of flower-themed enemies, because, like, she sings the song that's like, flower, gleam and glow, blah, blah, blah. But the actual explanation of what her hair has to do with a magical flower is just not here at all. So, I don't know. I could see that they did intentionally pick this world as a Marluxia world because he has a flower connection. But the connection's not really present in the game itself, I guess is what I would say. But I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, agreed.
Unlike everything else about Marluxia. Anyway. This is Wish Us Duck.
This is Wish Us Duck.
This is the segment where we try to sound like Donald Duck, and we do a great job every time.
We do.
What did Donald Duck say this time?
Well, he did say that's because we're heroes at one point, and then
I think he might have said show some decorum.
Show some decorum is good.
Well, no, that has the letter N in it, so I don't want to read that one. I actually didn't write down a lot of direct quotes. Usually I do.
Yeah, the only direct quote...
I guess most of the dialogue in this is directly from Tangled.
Yeah, I mean, the quote that I liked when Donald says that's because we're heroes, and Goofy goes, and we're heartless experts. But...
Okay, yeah, I'm good with that.
Would you want to say that whole thing?
Yeah, I'll say the whole thing.
Okay.
This will be an opportunity for Wish Us Goof.
That's because we're
heroes. And heartless experts.
All right, here I go.
And we're heartless experts.
Oh, man. I love Wish Us Goof. It's too bad we don't have space in the podcast to do that.
Yeah, we got a lot of bits.
By which I mean I don't want to.
Yeah.
The problem is I always feel like I'm okay at the Goofy voice, and then I hear it come out of my mouth, and I realize I'm not actually that good at it.
I think you're better at it than I am, but I think in general it seems like you're better at impressions than I am.
Oh, thank you. Yuck.
Yuck?
Yuck. Next time. Once again, I believe this is going to be mostly a Disney World. We are going to go to Monsters, Inc. Or should I say, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, I love that movie back in the day.
Yeah, I'm excited to rewatch this one. It's been a long time since I saw Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. I like they were getting all this Pixar stuff.
Yeah, you know, do I like the consolidation of businesses? No.
Yeah, we all do.
Do I like that they can put Pixar stuff in Kingdom Hearts? Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
We are on co-host at Sounds About Light. I'm on co-host at Positive Stress. You can listen to my other podcast, Dr. Huh, where we have finally done our episode on the Series 1 Doctor Who episode, The End of the World, with Cassandra the Skin Lady. Next time, Hooray. We'll be watching a Series 3 episode with Martha called Utopia. I don't know anything about it. Also, I am still, I think, unless Critical Mode beats the enthusiasm out of me, I am still planning on streaming Kingdom Hearts 3 on Critical Mode over the weekends. So keep an eye out for those.
Will do.
At twitch.tv/positivestress, I should say.
I've in my free time, I've been continuing to play Kingdom Hearts 1. very slowly, nice. And I made it to Agrabah again, which is where I stopped playing Kingdom Hearts 1 the first time.
That's a fantastic place to stop playing because it's not good.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, will I have the willpower to get through it this time? And I hope so. you can find me on co-host at Achilles Healy's. You can listen to me on the F Plus. I did just record an episode that I think will be very good when it comes out, you know, whenever that might be. And you should listen to the most recent episode, which is about a truly, like, singularly weird forum, which I like a lot, with just one person posting in it. So that's always great.
I saw when that one was being recorded, I saw posts getting posted, and I was kind of glancing through them. That is a fascinating person and website.
Yeah, it's a good app. So, yeah, listen to that episode. and listen to Extra Credit, another good.
Yeah, listen to Extra Credit. I don't remember the last time I was on it, but it was probably not that long ago, all things considered.
Yeah.
And listen to podcasts on noisespace.xyz, like Forward Forward ReZero, or City Girls Make Do, or My Pod Cabbages.
Yeah, Camarocho Radio. There's a good one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. I was on that once.
Oh.
Yakuza. And like we say at the end of every episode, Keyblade.
Keyblade.
I put some real stank on it that you time. Did. I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah. Whoa.
Keyblade.
Keyblade. I don't know what that was. All right. He was a goofy-esque guy.
It was a goofy voice.
Yeah, it was a goofy voice. It was kind of a goofy. Yeah, it was more like that, I feel like. Anyway. bye.
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 Rapunzel?
Eugene.
Did I ever tell you I've got a thing for brunettes?
Eugene!
Oh, my God.